Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whoop, whoop. Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend, a great Mother's Day weekend. Got to celebrate with your mom. Hope you got a chance to do all of that. And guys, we spoke with Stephen A few hours ago in the 6 o'clock hour, and you just heard that right there, him talking about Scottie Pippen being the guy that comes out of this looking the worst. It's not just Stephen A saying that. We could talk about what we think about it. Obviously, Scotty feels that way because Scotty is the one guy in this Bulls team that still isn't popping up other places talking about the doc as it's being rolled out.
There's a lot of questions.
I think he's done, right? Didn't he say he was done talking about it?
Yeah, nobody else is.
Yeah, there are a lot of
nobody
questions.
Nobody else is as prominent in it as him, right? I mean, Kukoc is getting a little love for the last couple episodes.
But B.J. Armstrong is around. Dennis is around. Steve Kerr is around. I mean, there are guys that are – Jeff Bushler's around. There are guys that are talking about it.
Scottie Pippen works for us, and he's not on talking about the Last Dance. That's all you need to know about how he may feel about it. But there are a lot of questions he may not want to answer in real time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to answer the question of why I quit either.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in real time, you know, because when you're editing, and Key, you've done these documentaries, and Travis, I don't know if you've been in them or done documentaries, but, you know, you get a lot of takes to share your perspective. And sometimes you get fed dates and stats because they want you to frame things a certain kind of way. So you can do a doc and talk about a difficult situation and not have to relive the moment completely. But once you're on live or you're being interviewed and you're on camera, or you're being recorded on a podcast and we can hear your voice and you got to answer certain questions and there are no do-overs, that could be real tough for a guy like Scotty.
Damn, Scotty.
Well, you wonder too, guys, if it happened because of episodes 1 and 2. Think about it. Go back. I know it's been a minute, but you go back and one of the big takeaways from that first weekend was Michael calling Scotty selfish. That when they were talking about Scotty not wanting to F up his summer, when Scotty said, no, I waited to do it because I didn't want to lose my summer. And Michael said, yes, he was being selfish. That was a big pullout from the moment. Then you fast forward a little bit from there. Then you get into the migraine situation. I agree with you, Key, that that's a little different because that's a health issue. And if he can't go, he can't go. And what are you supposed to do? But the summer comment combined with Michael calling him selfish, combined with him quitting, and you have Steve Kerr saying he quit. You have Bill Cartwright saying he quit. And they said that he apologized and made it right, but he doesn't come out of this thing looking great. Though.
That's not the same, though. You apologize because what if, you know, that could have changed everything. What if Tony Kukoc doesn't knock down the shot? They go on to lose the series. I mean, it's just like you just don't do that. You just don't do it, man. I feel bad for Scotty because it made Scotty look bad, and you know it just made him look bad.
What makes him look bad too, Keith,
justified
is that
everything that Michael was saying.
In the doc, he said it last night. I'd do it again. That was the part that said, wait, what?
Well, yes.
My goodness.
Listen, look at the situation.
Well, because that's what he believed in.
And look at the situation. Again, there's less than 2 seconds left on the clock. There are no do-overs. This is the final shot. You're the MVP candidate. You're the All-Star Game MVP. You're all NBA for the first time in your career on the first team. You are the man. You are supposed to be one of the best players in the world. And what Phil Jackson is suggesting you do is that you pass the ball to the guy that Jerry Krause said is going to replace you. I mean, that's essentially what happened.
I don't think he thought of it that deep. He wasn't looking at the guy that's going to replace him and all that. Phil Jackson didn't draw the play up based on something that Jerry Krause told him because he couldn't stand Jerry Krause.
No, that's not what I said. I said that he's going to pass Scotty pass the ball to the guy Jerry Krause said is going to replace him. Now, Phil doesn't have to say anything. Pip knows the dynamic. Pip knows the situation. Well, so you don't have to tell him anything.
I don't think that was the dynamic of the situation because Pippen went on to play another 4 years with the Bulls.
Well, is there not a difference, too, between being angry or upset or emotional in the moment, which I think we all agree. When emotions get involved, you make decisions – that you'd like to have back. You say things, you do things that you, you know, given the light of some time, you go back and say, well, I was feeling like this, but I wish I would have done. I mean, we're talking 20 plus years, and I get why he felt the way that he did, but here we are 20 years later. We're still talking about Scottie Pippen as the guy who wouldn't come off the bench, and he's saying, I wouldn't do it differently. That doesn't fill me with a guy that understands the impact and the magnitude of what he did.
Well, the first thing he says in the quote is that he wishes things were different. So he's letting you know right there that he wishes Phil would have allowed him to have been the guy, right? He says he wishes that it would have played out differently and that he did regret not going in. But if the same thing happened, i.e., if he's being told with 2 seconds left to take the ball out and pass it to Tony Kukoc, he wouldn't feel the same kind of way. He's then, you know, no, nothing's changed.
Glad I ain't got to deal with it, put it that way.
It's the one, the key, you said it. It's the one thing you can't do. It's the one, like, you can yell at a coach, you can yell at a teammate, you can get into disagreements with everybody, but when it's go time, if you tap them out and say, no, I'm not doing it, it's an unforgivable sin. And then look, Steve Kerr and all, Bill Cartwright, this is 30 years later, and you can say, it's like, yeah, we couldn't believe that he quit on us. They didn't use a different phrase. They didn't change any of the tone of it. Yes, Scotty quit on us, and we couldn't believe it. That you can never live that one down. You would think at that point, say, yes, I'd like to do it differently.
Listen, the only reason why I think Scotty is the simple fact that the documentary has happened. When I think about Scottie Pippen, I don't go straight there. Now, maybe other
people
are
different. No, it's not first, but it's in the first paragraph, LZ. It's not the opening sentence, but it's in the opening paragraph.
Like, what, third sentence, fourth?
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Right. Can't do it, LZ.
I'm cool with Pim.
Can't worry about Tony Kukoc. Can't worry about all this and that.
If they had told you, yeah, it's 5 seconds left. We got one shot at the end zone for the game. We're going to draw this play up for Wayne Kribet.
And
you
they, we did
kind of way.
And we did it against the Indianapolis Colts. And guess
and you,
what?
And you were feeling a certain kind of way.
At the end of the day, I told them when I walked in the locker room, you got what y'all asses wanted. Now what?
Yeah, that's
but
all
you were on the field.
I still was on the field to draw the triple team. But I didn't stay out there and stand on the sideline.
My point being is that you know what Scotty felt like. And that's all I'm saying. I can understand Scotty's perspective.
Yeah, but I don't agree with his decision. You say I know what it felt like. I did not stand on the sideline next to them. I got out there to do my job, which was to draw the double to triple team. I did it. You draw it up. You felt it was better for me to do that than do that. Okay.
But my point being is that you know what it feels like.
And guess what? You done brought back sore stuff. And guess what? If we done won the game, we done went to the damn playoffs. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I understand, Key. So you know what Scotty felt like. You just made a different decision based upon your feelings.
And that's the decision he should have made. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
You make the right decision, not the bad decision.
But I get why he made the bad decision. You
know what else jumped out at me watching it last night? Because obviously the baseball was a big part of the two episodes last night was they've had a long time to put this together. They couldn't find one piece of video of Michael Jordan hitting a ball hard. I mean, you had all.
Hey, man, you're going to get up off Jordan's baseball. I ain't going to let you keep pounding Jordan in that 202 and the 51 ribbies.
Tell me the one key then where we saw him hit the ball hard, because all I saw were a bunch of soft.
Man, he was a 6'6 Ozzie Smith.
What?
He wasn't Jared. He wasn't Judd.
He wasn't Aaron Judge?
No, he wasn't Aaron Judge. Come on now. Ozzie Smith. He's going to punch it through.
Yeah,
if Vince Scully called it, you're going to say he punched it through the outfield for a
stand-up
double.
Three-hopper through the left side of the infield. Michael Jordan's slugging percentage still in the 100s.
It's so crazy that and I get where Jerry Reinsdorf was coming from, but it was even crazy just to parachute Jordan in at that level of play.
They used it from a media standpoint, too.
I understand that. I saw the documentary. I get it. They felt like this was going to accommodate.
I didn't ask whether or not you saw the damn documentary. I just said what they did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was in the documentary. I get it, blah, 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 blah. But you still have to make the decision to parachute Jordan in at that level of play. Media be damned.
Well, no, like, guys, both of these things can be true. That he hit 200 in double A, which is real baseball. It's a very high level of professional baseball. That he hit 200 and drove in 51 runs is really impressive, considering he had had a high school baseball experience up until that point.
Yeah,
it can. It can also be true that because he was Michael Jordan, because he has otherworldly athletic ability, because he has that, you know, psychotic work ethic where he will take batting practice five times a day, that is why he hit 200. It doesn't mean that, oh, given more time, he would have made the major leagues. No, he wouldn't. Yeah. I saw those curveballs that he was swinging at like he had a tennis racket instead of a baseball bat. He was a mile away from those pitches. That's also true.
But he improved, as they said in the doc, he improved on doing that. We just never saw it because he went back to basketball.
It's hard against, you know how you tell us all the time, Key, that, you know, a pro, like my whole thing with Tom Chambers, right? And I'm like, I'm sizing him up. Yeah, I can get some buckets. Tom Chambers is a 4- or 5-time All-Star who was an All-Star game MVP. Though, man. And he's got a certain level of muscle memory that's never going to go away, that he's just going to be able to do because he's a professional. You can't parachute in and be on par with professionals if you haven't at least been spending the exact same amount of time working with them. That's the only reason why I believe that no matter how much you try to cram for the exam, there's only so much of the subject matter you're going to be able to learn because you just don't have the depth.
Well, I believe in Mike. I don't care what y'all say.
Well, I'm going to believe my eyes and the bat speed. I'll believe the basketball stuff. It's all Mike all the time. The baseball stuff, I don't know. The good, the bad, and the what of The Last Dance is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, the good, the bad, and the what from The Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8 that we saw last night. I will go first. I'll start with the good, guys. Michael Jordan sitting in front of his locker when he'd returned to the Bulls with a cigar in his mouth the entire time and swinging his baseball bat over and over and over again, talking about B.J. Armstrong running his mouth after beating him once in the playoffs. I absolutely loved it because that's what a gunfighter looks like. That's what guys like, I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about anybody who says anything. Let's see him do it again. Let's see him do it when it matters. Let's see him do it when it's behind, when it's tied. And that he never, ever took the cigar out of his mouth while he was delivering that was fantastic.
No, it was. He was like, yeah, I'm going to smoke this doobie and I'm going to get doing what I need to do.
It's so remarkable to have been an ex-teammate of Michael Jordan and ever think it would be okay to talk smack to him. This is the hardest thing for me to comprehend.
Well, now I can finally.
But you know you can't. He always comes back and guts you.
No, yes. I know, but for that one moment, I beat the Armstrong for that one time and that one moment, I could do this. Because if I'd have did it when I was playing with him, he might have socked me, so I couldn't, you know.
LZ, what's your good?
My good is the moment that MJ talks about why he pushes the way he does, why he pushes the teammates the way he does, why he is so passionate about trying to win to the point in which he got a little bit emotional just talking about it all these years later. That moment to me was the best moment of the series so far. It certainly is the one I identify with the most, and just think that what he said in that moment is something that you can use, and I've said this at the beginning of the show, no matter what field you're in, what Michael Jordan says about excellence can be applied to it.
Key, you're good.
I would say, it was interesting as I was continuing to watch it and I thought about the good. The good for me was when Michael Jordan decided to go back to basketball and he's just in the gym working, shooting, doing his deal. You know, he didn't lose anything. You know, and I know they said, he came back rusty and he came back rusty to y'all and to himself, but for the most part, for the fans, when we watch that, it's like, well, he gave the Garden on number 45. He went out there and torched them in the Knicks with number 45 on, where, you know, the 45 didn't look right. It was like the superpowers was bunk. It just was not right. And once he put that 23 back on, everything came right. But to be able to walk in, even though you're trying to stay out of it, and going on that field and walking on that, I mean, going on that court and walking on that court and picking up that basketball, it's like, you know what, man, I'm supposed to do this all over again. It's like I told you earlier. I went to the Miami Dolphins training camp, and I stood there, caught a few balls from Chad Pennington, messed around. I said, man, if I don't get out of here,
I'm going to sign up.
Be signing a contract and be talking about, Ted Ginn, you got to take off 19. They need to give me that.
All right, let's go to the bad. I knew the stories, and I remember the rumors, but that people printed things in newspapers connecting the death of Michael Jordan's father to Michael Jordan's gambling. And I understand that there are some tangential pieces of circumstantial evidence that Michael owed this guy some money or that guy some money, but there's never been any connection that 1 + 1 = 2 in that, and that people were putting that in the papers and on TV was wildly irresponsible in retrospect.
Yeah, LZ.
Absolutely. Well, you was calling my name, and I'm glad you did, because Travis, that is also my bad. I actually just pulled up a couple of archives. So I want to shout out some names. Mark Wicker, Orange County Register, said, quote, "For now, we just know this, that there is evidence of the son's gambling problem and there is suspicion of a son's playing problem. The father of that son has been murdered. Coincidence, anyone?" End of quote. Irresponsible. Now, there is a difference between objective reporters and columnists. These are columnists, but they still should have some measure of journalism integrity, not to, as you said, Travis, kind of make that connection without any hard evidence, or at least being out without being able to source someone who's in a position of authority. Instead, we got a lot of conjecture under the guise of I'm just kind of, you know, running something off the top of my head, and it gave journalism, sports journalism in particular, a really bad look. So that's also my bad.
Yeah, LZ. My bad, obviously, is the Scottie Pippen sitting on the bench. Scottie's sitting on the bench. Come on, Scottie, man. You're better than that. You're better than that. You're 50 greatest players ever played a game in the NBA. Could you ever imagine Magic Johnson ever doing that? Could you ever imagine
LeBron James?
LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, you know, anybody that's in the top 50? Could you ever imagine any of them dudes, Charles Barkley, doing that? Pip, he was better than that. And yes, at times, the moment gets to you and the frustration gets to you, but it ain't about the damn coaches. It ain't never damn them. Damn them. It's about your teammates and your players. And when you check out on your teammates and your players, that's why Bill Cartwright was so hurt. He was so hurt to the point where he shed tears, according to the documentary. That's a bad look for Scottie. I mean, Scottie, my man, but damn, Scottie.
It's a bad look. And unfixable, quite frankly. I mean, we're still talking about it 20 plus years later.
Like I said, I would have went out there, passed the ball, and Phil Jackson's ears would have been down to his elbows. I'd have chewed them off so bad.
All right, let's move on to the what. Go to the set of Space Jam where Michael had those legendary games in that dome out in the parking lot. The what for me was, wait, Sean Bradley got invited to those games? I know he was in Space Jam, but they let Sean Bradley play in those pickup games? I was absolutely dumbstruck when I saw that.
Sean Bradley was okay. He was a big.
He couldn't do anything.
But he was a big in the NBA. He was. They needed somebody to stand there, the shot trajectory. They needed a big.
Oh, Sean Bradley King.
But it was a couple faces in them clips, and I was like, man, they invited him.
Yeah, and nobody more so than Sean Bradley. What's your what, LZ?
My what is what? ESPN did what? Netflix did what? Spotify did what? They put together the Last Dance soundtrack. You can go to Spotify now and listen to all the hot music that's playing during the Last Dance. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when they started playing Party, what was that game? Party. What was that Prince song, Raj? Is it Party Man?
Yes, yes.
Party Man. When they played that, I was like, I ain't heard that song in a minute. And that's when I really started to pay attention to the soundtrack. The soundtrack for The Last Dance has been fire from jump, and I guess finally the execs here at ESPN as well as Netflix figured out that people were really feeling the music and put together the whole soundtrack playlist that's available right now on Spotify. Get your life on. Between that and Jill Scott versus Erykah Badu, this is a great weekend for music.
Key, what's your what?
What? Michael hit a home run. You know how hard that is, man?
It is.
A home run, that's hard. Like, he couldn't even hit the ball out of the infield half the time without it blooping or some sort of line drive or ground ball in between the gaps. But he actually got underneath it and drove it where it barely scaled the wall.
Can I be a terrible guy for a second?
No.
And if that defender had any jump on the ball, he'd have got it up. If right. I was King, okay. Sure, he'd have took it off the wall.
So you're getting there, Key. The part about that home run that I saw watching it last night, the left fielder was basically playing shortstop. They had such little respect for Michael's ability to drive the ball that the left fielder was barely off of the infield dirt. So when the ball gets hit, you see him turn and run like crazy. To your point, Key, it wouldn't hit that far. It's just that the guy was in so close because of the lack of respect for him to drive the ball that he's on a dead run to try to track that thing down.
That was a lot of hate for MJ, man.
You know, my son, who was born in 96, obviously was not around to see much of Michael Jordan.
Isaiah.
But he's watching it with me. And it gets to the point in the clip where Jordan misplaces the fly ball. And he's kind of ducking and runs into the gate and the whole nine.
Oh, yeah, when he stumbled.
My son was like, wait, what? Oh, no, rewind that. Then he started recording it and sending it to people. He was like, oh, no. I was like, man, yeah.
MJ did the stumble. I was like, damn.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Look, it's hard. Not everybody makes an error. Mike Trout makes an error. It happens every once in a while. You'll cut Michael a little slack.
Bravo to them for including it in.
But see, watching MJ play baseball, I'm telling you, I feel like I could have went to the CBA. I'm telling you. I felt
you
like – I've been watching him go and try to play baseball. I'm like, I should have just went to the CBA.
I would bet on you in the CBA before I'd bet on Michael in double-A baseball. And I haven't seen you shoot a basketball, but I got a pretty good feel for what that might be. All right. Zion Williamson is being asked to sing on Duke. We'll explain. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I think we're ready for What's Up Cal to hit us with a new one, right? LZ, you going to get on that? You going to reach out and ask for that?
I wanted to celebrate with the actual reopening of team sports here in America.
We're getting closer.
So I'm holding out. You know, I don't want to spring the confetti just because you made it past the semifinals.
Hey, we had UFC this weekend, one step at a time, and we took a very positive step over the weekend. All right, I'm reading this from ESPN.com, guys. Attorneys representing Zion Williamson's former marketing representative and her company have asked the New Orleans Pelicans star to admit that his mother and stepfather demanded and received gifts, money, and other benefits from persons acting on behalf of Adidas and Nike, and also from people associated with Duke to influence him to sign with the Blue Devils and to wear Nike or Adidas products. So that's what is written. What it means is, somebody's suing somebody, and they want Zion Williamson to admit that he got stuff to go to Duke. Let me stop right there. I'm not saying anything about Zion Williamson specifically. What I am saying is, I don't know if there is a college basketball player out there anywhere that isn't offered things to go to certain places that by the letter of the law are against the rules, and I don't give a damn.
No, I don't really care. I could care less. They should have gave him something. Duke made something.
Well, it sounds like they did.
Zion. They made so much money off of Zion. The thing that I'm disappointed in, well, I'm not disappointed. I mean, every man's entitled to do whatever they want to do. The young lady who, the marketing director who he fired, actually was a pretty good, you know, she does a pretty good job for a number of NBA guys. It's just disappointing to see that he wind up signing with CAA and allowing CAA to do it when she was in the process of negotiating his big shoe deals and all that. So that part I do know is a little disappointing to kind of know some of the backstory behind it. But as far as him getting paid, I could care less. I mean, I really can. They should give him more money, even though he's not there right now.
I just like it over the fact that, you know, it sheds a little light onto the Duke program. You know, it's only because, you know, Coach K, whether it's because of the media or he feeds into this narrative, but he has been held up as sort of like this unblemished beacon of morality in college basketball. And even though we all suspect that his one and dones did not come because of a campus visit, it certainly would help if there was an example to say, okay, listen, everyone's doing it. Stop holding this one guy up as someone who's not doing it. This is a problem. Every program has this issue, and we should address it and fix it, as opposed to holding Duke up as, well, Duke doesn't need to do it.
Well, LZ, you tell me. I mean, I think the people that are looking at Duke, and I hear what you're saying, but Duke, Kentucky, any of these top programs, you're not getting the kids unless you're willing to do some things that you probably shouldn't be doing.
Because Coach Cal done been in some stuff before.
Right.
They don't get the same.
I hear what you're saying, Key, but the point is that you can't convince me that anybody that's competing at that level is doing it by the letter of the law. I just don't believe it to be possible. And while maybe Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils haven't been like Coach Cal, I get Coach Cal is kind of a different animal altogether, but I didn't assume that means it's not going on. I'm not sitting there going, wait, Duke too? Figured this goes on everywhere.
It does, but I understand what LZ's saying. They try to make him seem like he's pure water. Ain't nothing. His is just straight out the mountain, where everybody else has had to go through filter systems. I get it. I understand it. And players should be paid. And like I said, Zion ain't there right now. They should be paying him even though school is out. They should just be giving him money.
Just because of GT. The other thing, too, is that I like this story because it helps to reignite the conversation about where does the G League stand as an alternative destination for collegiate and high school players? You know, if my son was of age and he had a choice between going to college on a scholarship or going to the G League, I'm sending him to the G League because I know I can always get him in college. I can't always get him in to play professional basketball. There's nothing you can do to convince me as a parent that if my son was at that level of being able to play professional basketball at 17 years old, at 16 years old, that I would tell him, don't do it. Because I know
you always can have another one.
You can I also know that we can always find other ways of getting you your formal education. We can always get you back in school if you still want that degree. The idea that you can only get through the NBA through college basketball, you know, was never correct to begin with.
Well, that's the part. The part that is the most ridiculous out of all of this is that you have to make a choice between those two.
Right.
You can't just say, all right, you know what? I'm Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Tracy McGrady, any of these guys that we've seen, and just say, you know, I'm ready to go play in the NBA. And if somebody's willing to give me a job in the NBA, go do it.
Man,
it's just simple. You can do it in every other sport. Why can't you do it with it? So that's the part. Not that he got, you know, Adidas or Nike or money or cars or houses or I don't care any of that. The part that's dumb is that, okay, you graduate from high school. Now you have to go serve this unpaid apprenticeship somewhere.
Because there's
a good reason.
Under this fake, you know, situation or process that they think that this is the only way. Meanwhile, Luka Doncic's ass is playing basketball professionally at 13, 14 years old, and we're celebrating it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Dirk Nowitzki is like 15 years old playing professional basketball, and he's celebrated. They're viewing their playing experience professionally at a very young age as a plus. But here in the States, domestic players, you know, you got to at least go to school for 1 year. It's like, wait, hold up. Luka Doncic got drafted just fine and not playing in high school and not playing in college.
Key, we've seen what's happening with college basketball, and it's just become less and less and less of what it used to be year after year, and for a variety of reasons. Could we ever see something similar with college football where somebody somehow starts a minor league of football, and you say out of high school, you know what, I'm not going to go play for Alabama for 3 years. I'm going to go over here and get ready to start playing professional football.
Absolutely. Don Yee, the great agent Don Yee, who works with Tom Brady, amongst other players, and Jimmy Garoppolo, is in fact in position right now to start a similar league where guys could elect to go from high school to this league opposed to going to college or going to junior college to make money. It's almost like a semi-pro league to a degree.
Would you get the same – like, would I not be better served to go have an apprenticeship under Nick Saban as opposed to some guy in a random league?
You know, I something about the college experience in football and having to be there for a couple of years to let your body mature and do all of those sort of things, there's a handful of guys that have some ability to go straight from high school into the pros of football, a handful. Just a handful that may only need a year of college or a year of removed from college. Just a handful of guys that could potentially do that. But the risk is so great that you got full-grown men with full beards with baby car seats, you know, car seats in the back. No, and you know, they gotta bring home the meat to the barbecue grill. So it's a little more difficult. You know, it's a little more difficult. Unlike basketball. Basketball is such that, you know, if you 6'11", you good. But 5'10 guards ain't coming out of high school making no real dent in no NBA. You know, you gotta be legit. Like LaMelo is 6'7". So to go to Australia and play just for a little bit and he grew, that works. But you don't see guards doing that. You see big dudes, Kevin Garnett's. You know, Kobe Bryant did it, but Kobe Bryant was special. And at the beginning of his career, people was questioning what he was gonna turn out to be.
Crosstalk with George Sedano coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Right this way. Everybody right this way. Yeah.
How's the weekend, George?
Weekend was good. You know, we just we had Mother's Day. I became a chef yesterday, breakfast and dinner.
Wow.
So, did all right, too. Not so bad.
And what did you make?
So breakfast were omelets with some prosciutto and some mozzarella. Yeah. And some chocolate chip pancakes for everybody. And what else did we have? And bacon, obviously. Some avocado, for, you know, the healthy side. and then for dinner, we had ribeye and crab cakes.
Wow.
Ooh,
you got some game, George.
You went big.
I did go big.
So are you like me, George, in the sense that as much as I'm enjoying The Last Dance, I'm already kind of a little bit anxiety ridden, because I only have two left. I mean, we're almost done with this. It's really freaking me out.
Yeah, I'm with you too. But I do think that, at least we had some UFC this weekend, right? I think that there's going to be more sports potentially giving it a go. Hopefully in as safe a fashion as possible. I'm sure you guys discussed Adam Silver's call on Friday on the show today. And, you know, I think that there is a potential, right? Fingers crossed that there could be some actual games on the horizon.
Yeah. What did you make of Shaq's comments about canceling the season? Because, the playoff system may not be the setup that we're used to seeing right now.
Well, I think that Shaq is speaking as someone who's not in a competitive situation at the moment, right? Like, as competitive as Shaq was in his time, Shaq is, you know, doing Shaq things. Like, he's not worried about the games. But I'm sure if you asked Shaq in 2000, when the Lakers hadn't won a championship yet, you know, if this was, you know, the 99-2000 season, if he would want to play, I'm sure he would want to figure out the best way possible for everyone to play. So I just think it's a matter of perspective, basically.
Absolutely. He's not in that position right now. And so, you know, he's looking at it and saying, well, they could just come back next year. And, you know, who wouldn't want to see the Lakers win one, huh?
Well, I mean, look, whoever wins, it would be best if it were the Lakers for us, obviously. But it's not tainted. Even if the format is a little goofy, even if they have to shorten some series at the front end, it's not tainted. You still have to go through it. You still have to beat your opponent. There's no asterisk on it. It's weird because of the situation, but it's legit for sure.
Travis, I think it's actually tougher, to be honest with you, considering the circumstances. Yeah,
absolutely. The cardio won't ever – you can't get the cardio back to where you were. Not with an abbreviated system. Even if they gave you 3 weeks, whatever your cardio was, after months of playing ball, there's no way you're snatching it back after 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, especially if you've been sitting at home.
Right.
You know.
And you know some guys are, too. You know, I mean, most are probably doing what they can, but you know there's a couple of guys that are not doing much, for sure.
Well, it's a lot of guys. You'd be surprised, though. It's a lot of dudes that been traded. You just didn't know.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes been sneaking the gyms, little high school gym, a lot of guys been doing stuff that you just didn't know. That's all.
George, is Scottie Pippen's decision to sit out that shot, we saw it last night on The Last Dance, the Tony Kukoc shot against the Knicks, is that just an irremovable permanent stain on Scottie Pippen's permanent record?
I mean, it's definitely a chapter, right? And that's why it was covered the way it was covered. I think that the way if you look at Scottie's career, right, and you look at a guy who teammates will tell you, I thought Steve Kerr really said it best, right? Like, Scottie was an easy guy to play with. He just had some moments that when he chose to really kind of put his foot down, it was unfortunate how it really affected the team, right, in ways that you would never imagine. And look, some of it gets Scottie a little bit because it's like, yo, this is your time, right? Jordan's gone. There's a lot of pressure. Even Kukoc made reference to this during that part of the documentary that when they were winning, everything was fine. But the minute they lost, it was always like, uh-oh, do they really need Michael? Is Michael going to come back? Can he come back to save them? So there was a lot of pressure on Scottie. And I could see where Scottie was a little annoyed by Phil. Like, dude, you know how many times I would have liked to have taken the last shot when Michael was around? And you're going to give it to this rookie? So I get that part of it. But yeah, I do think it's just something he's going to have to live with. And I was actually stunned that even though we found out about the Cartwright stuff, which I wasn't aware of, where Cartwright was crying and pleading with him and really, you know, Scottie apologized then and there, that in real time, Scottie was apologetic in the sense of he thought it was unfortunate, but that if he had to do it again, he still would do it.
Not smart.
That was the part.
Bad move. Both was bad moves, but then when he doubled down, it's like, come on, man, you don't get it. Nor do you care.
You can't give him the benefit of the doubt at that point. The Sedano Show is coming up next. We will see you here. We will hear us 6 o'clock tomorrow morning on the morning show, 710 ESPN.